It's good to come out to a place like this where you're outside of your ordinary life. And all the concerns that come from being within that life can be put aside, or you can step out of them and look at them from the outside. And they don't seem so oppressive. The Buddha talks about this. He says, when you go out into the wilderness, you have in mind the perception you're in the wilderness, and the perceptions of being back home, the perceptions of being with this person or that person fade away. And they seem a lot smaller. The concerns that go along with those perceptions are put in a new light. It's called getting into physical seclusion. Then there's getting into mental seclusion. This is where the Buddha's First Noble Truth comes in. He gives a list of all the different kinds of suffering there are. Aging, illness, death. Birth, aging, illness, death. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, despair. Having to be with things you don't like or people you don't like, being separated from those you do, not getting what you want. It's like he's putting out a sign. He said, any of you have any of these problems? Okay, here's the solution. And the solution is seeing things as five clinging aggregates. All these pains and sufferings you have, try to see, where is it there's the clinging? Are you clinging to a form or a feeling, perceptions, fabrications, consciousness? He puts these in terms that allow you to step outside of the suffering. Because the big problem of the suffering is that you're often in it. What the Buddha calls becoming. You have an identity, you've taken on an identity in a particular world, and it's causing you suffering. And as long as you're thinking of yourself as, I'm this person in this world, in this situation, it's causing suffering, it's going to weigh you down. So he's giving you another way of looking at it. Step outside. Just look at it as these impersonal things. And look for the clinging. How are you feeding on a particular form? It might be a physical form, or it may be a form in your imagination. And the body here is the main issue. Sometimes it works well, and sometimes it doesn't function quite so well. It has all kinds of diseases that can spring on you. There's a nice passage where Sariputta, as you contemplate the four elements, he says the four elements can be internal or external, and you look at the external ones, and even they have huge changes. Sea levels rise and fall. In his counting, sometimes they fall down to the point where there's almost nothing left in the oceans. Other times the water floods places that have never been flooded before. Fires rage, and then they go out. Winds blow, and then they stop. Even the earth can quake. He says, with the external elements so vast, there's so much change and so much alteration, what about this little body you've got here? Is there anything in there that you can really lay claim to as being your or yours? And then he says, it has here only a no. In other words, it denies any claims you might want to make on it. So as long as you try to feed on it and make your happiness dependent on it, there's going to be problems. Similarly with feelings and pleasures and pains, neither pleasures nor pain. Sometimes the pleasures come from your desire for sensual things. You want sight, sound, smells, taste, tactile sensations to be this way, and they're not that way. Sometimes the pleasures and pains come from your desire to gain awakening. Those, actually, the Buddha said, are useful. That's the pain that comes when you realize, okay, there is awakening out there and I haven't gotten there yet. He says, don't try to snuff out that pain by saying, well, it doesn't matter. It does matter, but you have to learn how to live with it in a mature way. So some pleasures and pains you want to hold on to, others you want to let go. In other words, there are some forms of stress that actually are useful. So as long as they're useful, you develop them, but otherwise you want to let them go. You look at your perceptions and you see how arbitrary they are. You can walk into a situation and perceive all the people there as your enemies, or you can perceive them as little kids who have grown up and don't know what they're doing. And it changes your attitude towards what they do and what they say. Your thought fabrications, your consciousness, all of these things are very, very arbitrary. In other words, they arise according to causes and they pass away according to causes, but sometimes you feed the ones that you like and it turns out they're going to bite you. You're feeding them because you want to feed off them, but they turn into difficult or impossible animals to have around. So learning how to step back from your issues, not this person and that person, this situation, see that in terms of these five aggregates, particular combinations of them, and the fact that you're clinging to them, you're trying to feed off them, or there is feeding going on. And then you say, I can give myself something better to feed on. You develop dispassion for the things that cause you to suffer, and you try to develop passion for something that will lead you away. Develop passion for the path. So the Buddha's analysis here is really interesting. He doesn't define what suffering is. He just gives you a range. He says, if you're suffering from any of these things, it all comes down to this habit of the mind. And it's impersonal. It doesn't have your name on any of these habits, because we all do these things. The fact that someone is born means that that person already is engaging in these habits. So it's something we all engage in. Think about that for a bit. That too helps take some of the sting out of your pains and sufferings. So whether it's physical pain or mental pain, whatever the issue, it's like the Buddha puts up a sign in front of his clinic. You've got this disease, that disease, well, we've got the cure. And a large part of that cure is learning how to see your sufferings from the outside. And just allowing yourself to look at them in those terms makes a big difference right there. You're not so much in them, where they weigh down on you, where they can squeeze on you. You have to step out of them a bit, so you're not putting yourself in the middle of the squeeze. So just the First Noble Truth, even without going on to the others, offers a lot of relief right there. Suffering is there. He's not saying that life is suffering. He says there are these different kinds of suffering and they all come down to the same problem. And it's nothing particularly wrong with you that you're suffering. To take on identity as a being is going to involve suffering. But you have the choice. You can disidentify with all the habits that lead to suffering. You can learn how to identify with the habits that lead away from suffering. And once they get you there, then you can, to the end of suffering, then you can let go of all identities. Because why do we identify with things? We identify because we think we're going to get some pleasure out of them. And our problem is we've been identifying with all the wrong things, but we've got the choice. We can re-identify. Develop new skills, take on new identities. And once those new identities deliver us to the place of true happiness, the mind doesn't need on it any identities because it doesn't need to feed anymore. then it's free.